several months ago, I think now, I came across a quote. I like to, when I read a quote, my phone, like you, I don't know, I use the note page and the notepad, and also I use the photo opportunity there, and I'll either take a picture of it, or I'll write it down, and I'll keep it in front of me all the time. I think right now in my notes, Kimberly, looks at me every now and again and gets kind of like, what are you doing? I've got like 1,100 or 1,300 notes in my phone right now, and I just keep kind of going over stuff. I write down, it's where I get new message thoughts. And I just start writing down and planning my messages like that accordingly. Well, probably a couple months ago, I ran across a quote by a guy you might not, I don't know if you've ever heard of him before, but his name's Billy Graham. Anybody ever heard of Billy Graham? I just kind of did a wiki search on him last night. Billy Graham's 97, still alive. And in Asheville, North Carolina, that's where he's from, kind of about an hour where I grew up. And in fact, we're going to go to Asheville and just kind of hang out for a couple of days, Pastor Kimmer and I, at the end of the month. Billy Graham said a quote. Anytime Billy Graham, says something, I want to pay attention. When I was a little kid, I told you a moment ago when we were living up in New Jersey, Billy Graham, I don't remember exactly what stadium he came to. He either came to Shea Stadium where the Mets played, or Yankee Stadium, whatever that was called at the time, where of course the Yankees play. And we saw he was there for a three-day crusade. I remember sitting up in the bleachers, up in the stands there, with my mom and dad and my brothers. And remember when he was in the front, in the middle of that infield, and gave the altar call, and people came out of the stands by the thousands. And as a little boy, I still remember where I was sitting. I still remember kind of sitting there being enamored, looking at the thousands of people leave their stand, leave the stands, and long hair and just all kind of, this is back in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, and the drug movement and all that in New York and New Jersey and all that Southern California was all going on, and all these hippies and all these people of all kind of races and all kind of, everybody was just going down there giving their heart to Jesus. And I thought, man, this is amazing. Well, anytime Billy Graham says anything, I want to take notice. He's had a heart, and he's had the ear of presidents in our nation for decades and decades and decades. And he said this. So we've got it on the screen, and we're going to start here, and we're not going to get finished this morning. We'll pick up again here next week. But Billy Graham said this: there are seven gifts God gives you when you commit your life to Christ. He said a new relationship, a new citizenship, a new family, a new purpose, a new power, a new destiny, and a new journey. Seven gifts God gives you when you commit your life to Jesus Christ. In other words, you need to know what you got when you got Jesus. You just didn't get a ticket to go through the rest of your life on the earth and do whatever you want to do, act the way you want to act, have what everybody else has, and then one day, you get to go to heaven. No, he says that there are seven gifts, he says specifically, that you get when you commit your life to Jesus Christ. When you invest your life with God through Jesus Christ, he then in turn invests you with what he has so that you can be fulfilled and you can be satisfied and you can be something you're currently not right now. He says seven things. And so this week and again next week, we'll use these 7 points, these seven things, as a kind of soup, if you will. We'll kind of just put them all in the pot together and we'll talk about them. Does that sound all right, everybody? Come on, does that sound all right, everybody? Well, if it doesn't sound all right, we're going to do it anyway. So come on, you get on with the plan anyway, all right? Let's talk about this first thing. He says the first thing that you're going to get, come on, I'm a little bit ornery this morning, that's all right. This first thing you're going to get is a new relationship. A new relationship. There's a pastor who pastors a Presbyterian church, and I don't know of him at all, but his name is R.C. Sproul, and he had this quote that I thought was so amazing. I actually wrote it down. There'll be some of it on the screen behind me, some key points I want you to hear. But here's what he says happens to a Christian concerning this new relationship thought. His words: there were appropriate forms of address that were used by the people in the Old Testament, and the Jewish children were trained to address God in proper phrases of respect. All these titles were memorized, and the term Father was not among them. Notice, the first Jewish rabbi to call God, quote, Father, directly was Jesus of Nazareth. It was a radical departure from tradition. And in fact, in every recorded prayer we have from the lips of Jesus, except one, he calls God Father. He goes on to say, it was for this reason that many of Jesus' enemies sought to destroy him. He assumed to have this intimate, personal relationship with the sovereign God of heaven and the creator of all things. And he dared to speak in such intimate terms with God. What's even more radical is that Jesus says to his people, when you pray, you say, our Father. He has given us, he goes on to say, the right and the privilege to come into the very presence of the majesty of God and address him as Father, because indeed he is our Father. He has adopted us into his family and made us co-heirs with his only begotten Son. Guys, this is amazing. This is amazing. When you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you no longer have this inanimate, unpersonal, doesn't want to have really anything to do with you, kind of almost like forgive the example, but someone who fathers a child and never wants to raise the child, never wants to have anything to do with the child. And maybe you were raised in that scenario, and you know people that are selfish and self-serving, of course, and sexually motivated and just want that for themselves, lust and all of that pleasure, but don't want relationship that is not your Father. I want to encourage you, as you pray, banish the prayer in your mouth from your heart where you only communicate with him this way. God. God, I'm asking you. God, I'm asking you. God, I need. He does not want you talking to him as God. He wants you talking to him as Father. Father speaks of intimacy. Father speaks of a heart that's towards you. Father speaks of one that's concerned for you. Father speaks of one that's looking after you. Father speaks of one that is directly wants to provide for you. Father speaks of one that has birthed you. Father speaks of one that has a desire and a longing for you. Father speaks of one that will always be there with you in your highest highs and in your lowest lows. Father speaks of a connection with you that is connected with none other. You and I, the minute you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you enter into a new relationship. And this relationship, again, what's amazing is that what R.C. Sproul said, not but one prayer in the New Testament did God ever talk, Jesus ever talk to God as God. He always spoke in terms of Father. And in paving the way in Matthew 6 in the Lord's Prayer, where he said, you say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father, you have the right to call the creator of the universe Father. Intimate, personal, wants connection with you, wants relationship with you, wants communication with you, wants you to talk with him about every single thing going on in your day, because he wants to have influence in every single thing going on in your day. Because he's been there. He wants to show you. The Bible speaks over and over and shows us and demonstrates to us over and over that this one called God, who is our Father, is caring, is loving, is merciful, is kind, is just, is a healer, is a deliverer, is one who will give peace, is one who will be with you constantly, who will be with you in the valley of the shadow of death, who will bring light to you, revelation to you, help to you, who will give you relationships physically, who will provide things for you spiritually, this one who will call you, anoint you, equip you. Come on, everybody. This is our Father. Our Father. you know, I commit the sin, if you will, the speaking sin all the time, because whatever's kind of going on in my life and I'm thinking about it, I always try to bring an example to you, and not everybody can identify with it. So forgive me. But I'm in this stage now as a grandparent. Come on, any grandparents out in the room? And so, wow, you want to get me talking? Let me talk to you about my grandkids. And you know, Taylor is our smallest one now. You know, we just found out our guys in Vegas, Michael and Mary, they're going to have another one in a few more months. So that'll be two over there. So you pray real hard they move over here. Come on, everybody. We're praying they do relocate. They're desiring that, so we believe that too. But Taylor is just really cool. You know, she's a little bit over a year, just turned a year a couple weeks ago. And so you know, the parents and grandparents, you've seen it. They go from she was the kind of crawling, the scooting, and she's still doing the kind of crawling, scooting, and until she's standing up around the furniture, right? And they start going from thing to thing, and they see from the couch to the end table, and they make that little foot gap like it's the Grand Canyon, you know. And you cheer for them, and they grab, and they look at you for approval, don't they? They look at you for approval because you're the father, you're the mother, you're the parent, you're the overseer. And they look for approval, much like we always need to be looking to God for our approval. No one else but to God. What do you say? What do you think? How do you feel about this? And so Taylor is doing that, and you know the scenario. She's starting to walk, and so the parents and me and Kimberly's grandparents, and we grab her by the hands and the both hands, and she's just walking, and she's just, you know, kind of doing her thing, and you're walking with her. Then pretty soon she's gotten to the one hand, and so she thinks she's kind of cool, and she goes to the one hand, and she's kind of stumbling around. Well, this past week we're going hands free. Come on. And hands free is a whole new thing, right? And so you see it, and you're with them, and you let her go, just like your kids and grandkids, and they start. And when she falls, what we have done is when she falls, we don't say, "Oh, poor baby." No, we cheer. Way to go! Way to go! And so Taylor has face planted a couple times. But Taylor face plants, and she gets up, and she goes, "Hey," and we go, "Wait." And she goes, "Hey." And I just think so many times that God, we don't think God, our Father, is right there. Sometimes we think God's just too busy. He's got dead police officers in Dallas and families to kind of be with. He's got to help people try to find people that are cutting people's necks and blowing people up. In different countries, he's got to try to figure out the economic policy, not of our, but the world, and try to. But he's just way too busy to really want to know anything about me and help me. On the contrary, again, the scripture says, "You are the apple of his eye." He holds you in the palm of his hand. That he's got a plan for you and a desire for you, and wants you to know him intimately. As well as he knows you. Jesus said this. He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." You know, Philip was one of the guys that was with Jesus at this time. And he said, "You know, Jesus, just show us the Father." And Jesus says, "Well, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am acting and speaking and doing exactly what the Father would do if he was on the earth. How he would react to a woman caught in adultery is exactly how I've reacted, how the Father would react. How he would react to a woman, a Greek Syrophoenician, whose daughter's demon-possessed in Matthew 15, who has no covenant with God, outside the covenant of God, but who cries to me for mercy, I'm reacting and speaking exactly how the Father God would. How the Father God would want to come into a situation when people are hungry and they're thirsty and they've been without food and water for days. And what do you think God would think? God's concerned? And he multiplies loaves and fish because that's exactly what the Father would do. He is the exact representative and the exact image of God. So what Jesus did in the Gospels, we see God did. because Jesus and God, and of course the Holy Spirit as well, are co-eternal and they are one. They're one. Three individuals operating three different scenarios, but totally one in thought, in attitude, and action. And so we see when Jesus is on the earth, he shows us how we can have this relationship with God. And he shows us his heart, and he shows us God's heart, and he shows us God's nature, and he shows us God's character, that now we can have a relationship with God, and not just God, we can know him as Father. So let me encourage you. I don't know what your natural relationship has been like with your father. And what's a disservice, I think, to so many of us is that we've allowed what's happened to us with our natural father or natural parent, and we've allowed it to affect us in a spiritual way with how we relate to a loving, kind, generous, compassionate Heavenly Father who's only got the best for me. If you've never known your father and somehow you're taking that into how I could never know my Heavenly Father, can I encourage you today, take a step away from that and take a step towards God. Because the minute you turn your heart and take a step toward God and you relinquish that demonic thought that's holding you and binding you, you're going to see and you're going to sense and you're going to get to know the love of a Heavenly Father like you've never known before. You've never known before. Billy Graham says, when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you enter into a new relationship with this God who's called Father, Father, Father. I want to encourage you, don't let a day go by where somehow your heart's directed towards other things and not directed towards knowing more about your Father. I pray that your relationship with God the Father wouldn't just be a Sunday thing where the only time you're hearing what he says or what he thinks or what he views is coming from me on this pulpit. I pray that every day you'd open up the Bible, that you download a Bible app and you'd read and you'd study and somehow you play godly music going to work and you let your life be filled with thoughts of how God thinks, about how God views you and how he views the world and what he wants me to do with my life and how my life can be directed toward him and I can have meaning and I can have a life of significance and I can do something that matters and the desires of my heart can find an impetus and can find a direction that will bring fulfillment and satisfaction to him and I in turn would be fulfilled and satisfied as well. I pray that this new relationship isn't just a casual thing, but it's an everyday thing. Can I say it that way? The second thing that Billy Graham said, and this is the last thing we'll talk about today for time. The second thing he said that everyone gets when they make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life is a new citizenship. A new citizenship. It's phenomenal because now you cannot, from scripturally standpoint, you are no longer just identifying yourself with you as a person born in the country you're born in or the family you're born in. You are now identified with Christ. Now you are what the Bible says in Christ. The reality of now who you are as a born again person. The minute you surrender your life to Jesus, he takes you from living a natural existence only and he allows you to live a supernatural existence, which is in Christ. Everything he does for you has already been done in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Everything he's already provided for you has already been provided for you in his death, burial, and resurrection. What we sang this morning about a song about grace, grace comes like a wave crashing over me. His unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor, it's towards you, it's for you, not based on performance or what you could work or what you could do. It is a free gift. Come on, somebody. It's a free gift. And so now your citizenship isn't something you work for. Your citizenship is something that is given to you by birth. Three of our four children were born in Canada while we were there. They've got Canadian birth certificates. Their parents were Americans. Our children now have American passports. But they have the ability to go back to Canada. They could have the ability to live there, Canada. They were born there. They've got rights, certain privileges. You and me, those who make Jesus the Lord of your life, you now have a new citizenship. The Bible says you're in the world, but you're not of the world. N-O-T-W, not of this world. You're not of this world. You were born in this world, but you're from another place. Psalm 139, David says, before he knew me, or before, how's it go? How's Psalm 139 go? Anybody know? Let's turn there. Come on, let's turn there real quick. Let's get it right. My gosh, I just kind of lost myself there. Psalm 139, let's turn there real quick. Let's look at it. Psalm 139, let's read verse 13. Let's read verse 13. Anybody got a verse you want to read? All right, let's start in verse 13. He says, you formed my inward parts. Look at this. You did. You covered me in my mother's womb. Who did? God the Father. The Father God. He says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and my soul knows very well. Can you say verse 14? Come on, look at that. Let's go look at verse 14. Can you say that? I praise you. I'm fearfully, I'm wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works for me. And that my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions knows very well. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to thank you, God. I'm not an accident. I don't care how I got here. Listen, I don't care if I got here by a sperm donor. I don't care if I don't know my daddy. I don't care if I never knew my mama. I am here by assignment by you. So I am going to praise you. You got some marvelous works for me. Now I got to get my soul wrapped around that. Because my feelings are lying to me. My feelings are saying, you're a black man. You're a white man. You're a poor man. You're a Hispanic man. You're an uneducated man. You're always going to be this man. You're an angry man. You're a nasty man. You're a sinner man. I got to wrap my head around, no, I've got a new citizenship. I'm from heaven. I've been created in the image and the likeness of God. Come on, somebody. To have dominion. Come on, to have dominion. To have dominion over the work of His hands. I've been created. You've been created that way. David is an Old Testament man. And if you know the scripture says is that the Bible is a progressive revelation. So we just don't stay in the Old Testament. We read and find ourselves in the New Testament that now says you identify yourself not based on your strength or your ability or your nationality or your economic situation. You identify yourself in Christ. Who are you in Christ? You have got a new citizenship. Even our country, it's really interesting. When you go to different parts of the country, different people in different parts of the country talk a different way, don't they? Come on, if you're from the South, I grew up in the South, and not in the kind of the Mid-South, not the Deep-South. That's even, you know, even certain areas, the Mid-South in Tennessee and the Deep-South, come on, they talk differently. The further South you get, the slower it gets. Come on, somebody. They talk real slow. Like there was a lady, we had a friend, and his name was Ben. Ben Childers was his name. He was a couple years younger than me, and his mama was a real Southerner, and she'd open up the door, and she'd call his name, but she wouldn't say, Ben, Ben. Know how she'd call Ben? She'd say, Ben, where are you? You need to come home for lunch. And we're like, dear God, that's a long sentence. Wow, that's a long... you know, but if you're from the Northeast, you know, and you hear people like I've got cousins up in Connecticut, and they talk, you know, go walk the dog and go park the car. You're like, what are you saying? Even though they're part of the same country, the dialect is different. You know what's interesting about dialect is that when a child is born, a child isn't born with a certain dialect. Child. What he hears, what she hears, she begins speaking the very same thing. That's why it's so vitally important for you as a citizen of heaven. that now your citizenship is identified in Christ. That I need to make sure that I am hearing from Him through the Word. Amen. Hearing through Him through preaching. Hearing through Him through my spirit. And then I will begin speaking that. And if there are things coming out of my mouth that don't line up with the Word of God, even though I am a citizen of another country, the dialect should be different to me. The dialect should be, man, I don't know why I said that. Where'd that come from? That's not from my native country, meaning home. I'm a citizen of heaven. So worry should not be in my dialect. Being afraid should not be in my communication. Looking at other people, judging them based on their skin color or their ethnicity should not be in my thinking and in my communication and in my jokes or my playing with my friends, because it's not from the country from which I was originated. You and I are God people the minute you make Jesus the Lord of your life. What you know about people that are citizens of the country is that they always come under the influence of the country. Whatever is the dominating influence going on in the country, and whatever is the dominating influence in a certain part of a state, in the certain part of a city. It's really interesting. There's some missionaries, and we'll wind down right here. Some missionaries that have gone, and it was on this whole evangelism video. And they were in South America, and I don't remember the country, so forgive me for not remembering. But it was something like, you know, Brazil and Colombia, or Brazil and Argentina. I don't even know if they touched, but let's just kind of play. And there's actually a road, and there was no fence. But the missionaries found that on this side of the road, on this country, people would be open to the gospel and open to taking tracts and talking about Jesus. And literally, from the width of the building, they'd walk on the other side of the road where there was this other country, and the people would be antagonistic and would not want to talk about Jesus, would not take any information or any tracts, would not be open to a gospel presentation, did not want to have any influence of God at all. They were just right next to each other. What was going on? What was happening? There was something going on in the culture of the places in which they live that was directly influencing both people. Warning for all of us. Warning. You can be from another country. You can be from heaven. But heaven and its influence might not be working in you. You must make a concentrated effort that I am a citizen of heaven. I am going to think this way. I am going to speak this way. I am going to act this way. I'm not going to act like the world. I'm not going to act like somebody who doesn't know God. I'm not. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 6. He says, man, you don't have to worry about your life. Like people who don't know God. Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. Look at them. Solomon wasn't arrayed like these flowers. The birds don't sow, don't gather, don't store. Yet I feed them. Won't I much more do it to you? Why? You're a citizen of another country. I've got to think that way. I've got to act that way. I've got to believe that way. I've got to expect that way. So in this citizenship, there's a new language. There's a new thought. There's new culture. There's new customs, we could say. There's a new way of living. Make sure, even though you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, that you don't slip back to old ways. Make sure. What's frustrating when I go down to Mexico or something is that I can't speak the language. Isn't that frustrating? That's frustrating. There's a guy in my neighborhood, I'll close here, and he was outside, and he's working for a painter. He's a painter. And so my neighbor's house, and I was going to ask him, I got to do some painting at the house. And so I saw his truck out there, And he was back there. So I just went up and I said, hey, do you know the owner? Because I was going to talk to the owner about the paint and stuff like that. I said, do you know the owner? And he looked at me like, you know, he looked at me like, come on, you ever got that blank stare? Come on. All he speaks is Spanish, right? And I'm going, and so, you know, and you're trying to hand signal. And you're going, where's all my Spanish friends when I need them? Come on, I need an interpreter here. And I'm trying to, and we were like, no habla, man. Come on, we're like, no, it's not happening. It's just not happening. And so finally, you know, I just went to the front door and I got a chance to talk to the owner. God doesn't want your relationship with him to be like that. He doesn't want you on the outside, you not knowing what to say, how to say it, how to communicate. He wants you very well versed into how he thinks and what he says. And thank God, the Bible tells us exactly how he thinks, exactly what he says. So we have a real, real good starting point. Come on, when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you enter into a new relationship and you enter into a new citizenship. And we'll pick up the rest next week. Come on, stand up. Would you do that? Bow your head. Would you do that this morning? Father God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. We thank you. It's the gift that just keeps giving. We're never going to run out from exploring your uniqueness, Jesus, as you reveal who the Father God is. I pray for every person in the room, whether they know you as Father or not today, that they're taking a step towards you. Father, that as we prayed early, that we're changing our mind and changing our direction about who you are, about your purpose for our life. Father, I pray there are people here this morning that are just don't know. I've done something that's disconnected me from God. Father, I pray that they'd see you in a whole new way. That they'd see you as that prodigal son who left the family and went and did his own thing. And yet he came back home and the father was waiting. You showed us, Jesus, in that parable, what the Father God is doing. Longing to see us back in right relationship. So, Father, I pray today for every wayward heart, every wandering heart. I pray for every person today that their heart would be directed back towards you. And that they'd see that you want relationship, not as God, but as Father. And that you would reveal to them through your written word who they are now in Christ. And that they'd find a new identity that wouldn't identify just with their natural person, but with who they are now. That you've called them sons and daughters of God. Come on, let's just pray this prayer. Would you do it if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life? Come on, let this heart prayer be a prayer from your heart. If you prayed it before, let it just be a reminder of who you are now. Come on, everybody, just say this. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you right now in Jesus' name. I need you in my life. And so I say with my mouth and I believe in my heart, Jesus, your Lord, my Lord. Thank you for saving me and delivering me from all sin. So I repent, I change my mind, and I change my direction. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, somebody. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, that's a prayer that gives you entrance and access into the very presence of God. Entrance and access. Now, keep discovering who you are because of the prayer you prayed. Keep coming to church. Keep serving God. Get around some good Christian people. They're going to help you. They're going to help you grow spiritually. Your citizenship, again, will be identified now with Christ. Amen. Our prayer partners are going to be here. We'd love to pray with you about anything going on in your life. Ladies, you've got a great, great event coming up. You can sign up out there today. Otherwise, we love you. We'll see you next time.